And now I'd like to introduce to the listeners Richard Feldman. He's the Executive Director of the King County Worker Center. Richard, tell us about the Worker Center and how you serve your community.
The Worker Center is a division of the King County Labor Council, AFL-CIO. That's the affiliation of all the different unions in the Seattle area. And we operate a group of folks that look at economic development and workforce issues and make sure that working families' voices are heard as those policies are developed, and making sure that the policies that our community puts into place support family wage jobs.
Now, of course, the focus of today's show is the Apollo Alliance. Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of why this is important for people to get on board.
Well, I'm the Washington State Coordinator for the National Apollo Alliance through our organization. And the idea that of Apollo and the Apollo Alliance has been put forward, that we have a bold challenge before us to secure our America's future, that we need to deal with energy, which is the lifeblood of a modern economy, and there's tremendous opportunities to both make sure that we're not as dependent upon foreign fossil fuel as we currently are, but there's tremendous opportunities for new manufacturing jobs and a whole series of jobs that are part of moving our country in this direction.
In San Diego this last week, I was shocked when all of a sudden I went out to get some gas, and the price of gasoline was 25 cents higher than it had been a few days earlier.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that across the country, and probably more remarkably is natural gas prices that are also increasing dramatically, and which has a really profound impact not just on our transportation as what you're seeing at the gas pump, but our ability to compete in manufacturing, as well as what we have to pay to heat our homes and our businesses and run our energy supply.
Give us a sense of how this affects workers, people who keep this whole thing going.
Well, on its basic level, those price increases that we just talked about make it much more difficult to compete in energy-intensive industries. But clearly, in terms of people's personal budgets and their heating bills, their energy bills, their transportation bills, that's taking another piece out of what for many people is already a stretched budget.
In terms of your work with the Worker Center, give us a sense of what you're promoting out into your community.
We've developed a 10-point platform for Washington State that has been endorsed by all the parties, and we've come to an agreement and consensus on this 10-point platform and have started to look at opportunities to move both policies and projects that support that 10-point platform.
Can you give us an idea of some of the major points that you think are most important?
Washington State is a state that knows renewable energy for a long time. Our hydro-based economy has been around and has been a major source of economic opportunity and a fundamental part of our economy for years. So part of our 10-point platform is to increase renewable generation and energy efficiency. Our hydro economy is only going to take us so far. The next growth in our economy is going to require new energy sources. There's also issues with our hydro economy considering snowpack and its downward trend as forecasted by atmospheric scientists out of the University of Washington.
Now, what sort of renewable energy resources are you focusing on in that area?
Washington State is really blessed with a kind of wide variety, both of companies that are already in this business, and that's everything from companies that are focused on how to strengthen our power grid by making it smarter, developing technologies that support a modern era electrical grid, and that's everything from software-based technologies to technologies that directly interact with how appliances come on or come off during peak times. There's Washington State has seen some wind development happen in the eastern part of the state, and there are businesses in Seattle right now that are part of supporting that industry, building gears for gearboxes that are in wind turbines. There's companies that are looking at innovative designs to radically improve the performance of wind turbines, and those projects are going on right now. I think that's one thing I want to emphasize, that this is not necessarily something that's off in the distant future. There's actually companies that are doing this right now that are employing people at good wages and benefits that are making energy efficiency and renewable energy projects possible. Another example, in terms of much more prosaic than we think about the beautiful photographs of the windmills, is there's huge amount of energy resources in basic energy efficiency. That's everything from more efficient lighting to better controls to modern heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. It's been estimated that just looking at that in our buildings and looking at more energy efficiency in buildings is a $25 billion opportunity that produces incredible amounts of energy savings and moves us towards that goal of energy efficiency and energy independence.
This is beginning. The interesting aspect of this is the fact that there are people actually working on these. Money is being invested. Businesses are being created. People are going to work. This is beginning to start to create an economic base for expansion, which is the first step. What can you look forward to in terms of the growth of this particular sector of your local economy there?
Some of it is not fully predictable. I think there's some things that are going on that are going to be the new products of the future that we're just kind of understanding. But clearly the energy efficiency industry, which in Washington State employs several thousand folks, there's tremendous opportunities. In Apollo Alliance, in our perspective at Apollo Washington, is to look at bold, big projects. What if we dedicated ourselves to making every school in Washington State as energy efficient as possible, that's the existing schools? It would create a lot of jobs, provide tremendous benefits to school budgets and not having to pay higher energy costs, and would take advantage of low interest rates in terms of financing these projects. And it's a great opportunity that we should pursue and look at doing statewide.
This is an amazing moment for me personally, because I'd never thought about that as a simple first step, as sort of a mission and a vision. And this is the type of ingenuity that comes once we start to actually dream and do things that build a better future. The schools, obviously, are a first step, and that's just, wow, so simple.
Well, there's currently legislation that Apollo Washington is supporting before the state Senate that require new construction and new schools to follow high-performance building standards, better known as green building standards. And that has an opportunity of saving some of the projects' estimated 25 to 35% energy costs on a newly built building under those standards versus comparable buildings. I've seen estimates that our schools in the state spend in total somewhere around $100 million on energy. Anything we can do to shave that energy bill off is going to have a big impact, and directly relate to having smaller classrooms and or better teacher pay if we can take that money saved and put it back into our schools. Another piece of legislation is setting standards for energy efficiency for various equipment and appliances. These are equipment and appliances that are not currently regulated under federal standards. So it's everything from those very, you know, the lamps in traffic signals to transformers on distribution systems, to commercial ice makers, all these various pieces of equipment that are humming away every day, 24 hours a day, and using electricity or natural gas for their energy source. And just covering those various equipment and appliances, you'd see natural gas savings in the year 2020, nearly 3% of our current statewide consumption in the commercial sector. The electricity savings alone in having these pieces of equipment be more efficient would power over 90,000 new homes. A number of states are looking at moving these exact same standards where the federal government has not moved on these. And that's also part of what we're looking at here, is in the policy vacuum that's been created at the federal level in terms of making our country energy independent. It's really now up to us at the local level to move something that's going to strengthen America and our state.
Every single time that becomes a mission, people have to go to work to try to create that. And in the process, they create new technologies.
A good example of that, again, is something that not many people know in our local area, and I think that's part of our effort to kind of highlight what's already existing.
Great.
In King County government, they run the wastewater treatment system in our area, and in Renton is they've installed the largest fuel cell of its type on their at the wastewater treatment plant that's fired off of digester gas, which is a renewable resource. And that was installed by union plumbers and electricians, and it's going to be maintained by public sector workers. And it's making about a megawatt of energy that's used on site, so it's decreasing the county's energy bill. And it's pioneering technology that, with more development, can have much more widespread implementation. And it's a great example of both federal leadership when it's there. Senator Cantwell was part of getting the pilot test grant to fund this. But it's also an example of, with our ingenuity and our, you know, American can-do spirit, there's a lot of things we can be doing, and there's these kind of fuel cells could be on every sewage treatment, wastewater treatment facility across the country of similar type that would be saving the public sector funds, that would be generating electricity from renewable resource, and creating a bigger market, which, of course, then lowers the cost.
Well, Richard, you've given us some great examples of on-the-ground things that people can do and are doing. If people want to contact you to find out more about what's happening in Washington State and beyond, how can they do so?
Probably best by email. Maybe they can go to your site to get that email address.
I'll be happy to post that so that people can link to your website. Richard Feldman, thank you so much for adding your voice to the Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.
Thank you for everything you do.
Jobs from new technologies. Lots of jobs. Good-paying jobs. So now, let's take a look at how the new greening of American technologies will lead to a greening of our economy. When we return here on the Wild Side News.